man. Is anybody ready for the word?
Yeah.
Turn with me to Esther chapter 3. The title for this chapter is Somebody's Out to Get You. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
You ever felt like somebody just got it out for you?
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to forget to pray, but we got to set this up first before we pray, because after I pray, I have to be sensitive. I mean, just flat out want to get you. I mean, got it in for you. You ever felt that feeling? Somebody, not only do you feel the feeling, but somebody come and tell you they want to get you. I don't like you. Today, we're a lot more sensitive than we used to be, except unless it's family. Am I right? And family will tell you stuff that you wish enemies wouldn't even say. I don't know. I make it sound like I'm speechless. But I've been there a lot. I mean, where does it go? Well, you got a wedding. You know where I'm going with this, right? You got a wedding. Everybody's happy. Spending money, buying gifts, inviting family people up, come join in the festivities, kissing on one another, just having a blast that day. And if you're a Christian, can't wait to get the ceremony over with. That wasn't enough surprise in this group here. Oh, it's a boy thing. All right. And you go from that day of bliss to turmoil, where you hate one another. Just go out there. I'm gonna take everything from you. I'm gonna take your dreams. If you mess around and laugh, I'm gonna take that too. Where does it go? How does it go from that day of bliss to just not liking one another, not wanting to have anything, want to take you to court, want to take everything from you? You ever felt like someone is just out to get you? You know, maybe you felt that way about somebody else. You just want to get them. They did you wrong. You don't care. You deserve for me to get you. And I deserve to get you because I feel so much better after I do get you. I'm sure there's nobody like that at Antioch, but there's people like that at other churches. I know I went there to visit and speak. And they got mad at me and not even pay me. I got paid one time and I won $1. Wouldn't have been that bad. They would have opened up the Iwana store. Can I have an amen? I'm sorry. I'm a sick man. But man, Haman and Mordecai, this is a serious I'm going to get you. And isn't it like God, we learned from verses 1 through 6 in chapter 3 already. Isn't it amazing, the absolute fantastic sovereignty of God Almighty? How can that God, 500 years before chapter 3, 500 years, folks, have two ancestries meet 600 years before. 1 Samuel 15. You want to know exactly where that 500 years is? And have the descendants of Haman and the descendants of Mordecai meet together and destroy their kingdoms in the same day. If you didn't hear that sermon, you go and order it and get it. I want to talk about the sovereignty of God. Kings, both of them was in the lineage of kings. Mordecai was in the lineage of Saul. God took his kingdom that day. And Haman was in the descendants of Agag, the king. He died that same day by Samuel. Chopped him up in the name of love. Now, if many go, well, how can he chop him up in the name of love? He loved God and wanted to be obedient to him. And out of obedience, he killed Agag, destroying the kingship of Haman. Same day, they both lost their kingly family lineage. And here, some 500 years later, in 474 BC, God brings those two descendants of the two kings that died on the same day of their kingdom, basically, one physically, one in the whole aspect of losing it, the crown. And he puts them back together. In Esther chapter 3. And when Mordecai finds out about Haman, and Haman finds out about Mordecai, this is where we start in verse 7. Because Haman wants to totally destroy not only Mordecai, but every one of his descendants. It isn't about religion. Most times, folks, when there was problem with the Jews, with any other people, it was because of their religion. Haman has nothing to be upset about their religion. He hates ethnicity. He wants to destroy them as a total people. He wants nothing left of them. He wants all memories gone. He wants to destroy them that there would not even be a picture, a thought of them left. Have you ever been like that with people? Have you ever felt like I just want everything about them gone? I don't want a memory of them. I have a right because of how much they have hurt me. Son, you want to give me one of those? Thanks, bro. You the man. I don't ever want to talk to them again. You ever been there? You ever had someone feel that way about you? Let's look at verse 7. In the first month, now in this calendar, it's not like ours. Our first month is what month? January. In this, the first month is March. Nisan. That is the month of Nisan in the 12th year of King Xerxes. Now, this is probably the fourth year that Esther has been king. Do you think she's getting a little comfortable by now? 4 years being the queen. All of a sudden, there's a problem. Haman decides it's time to move to get rid of Mordecai and all of his people. And he starts something. It says, in the 12th year of the king Xerxes, they cast pur. Anybody know what pur is? They're like dice. They're 1 inch in each side, but they don't have numbers on them like dice. They have prayers for a particular day. And in order, check this out. They wanted to cast pur, or in other words, to cast lots, before Haman from the day to day, from day to day, and from month to month, to the 12th month, that is the month Adar, which is our month, February. Now, check this out. Now, if you start in the first month, which is March, and you throw day to day and month to month until February, how long has that been? 1 year. Now, why is he throwing for 1 year? Well, in order to have the pur agree with you, in order for the lots to agree so he could go to the king, he has to throw 3 consecutive times the same prayer to prove that it is right before God and it's time to do what he wants to do with the Jews. Now, let me ask you a question. Why did God ever allow 3 to come up? And why did God make him wait so long in order for the 3 times consecutively to come up? You know, God could have always just kept it from only having 1 or 2. Can I have an amen? So, you know, God's timing. Have you noticed now through the book of Esther that God is not in any rush for you? I can't hear you. Now, we can say amen to that, but we don't like when God is not in a rush for us. Especially when we want some revenge. Especially when we feel we're the one that's right. And look at them suckers. And we'll call them that. That's, you know, that's the strong Christian word right there. Them suckers. They are getting away. How many of you have ever felt that there's someone you're dealing with who is just sinning, just not living right for God, and it seems like God's just letting them get away with it? Amen. Am I the only one to feel that way about y'all? I mean, it just drives you nuts, doesn't it? When you know someone's sinning, you know they need to be disciplined, and you just want to, God, what? Just let me help. Haman, hey, come on. You know God's got a good sense of humor, amen. He made us all. He's got a good sense of humor. Go look in the mirror. I'm just blown away. How many times? 360 some days, folks. 360 some days. He's throwing them lots trying to get 3 of the same. How many times do you think God let him get 2? Ooh, 7 go 11, give me a brand new pair. Shoot! I got two. And then get scared to throw the 3rd time. You ever been there? You've been praying about something and it seems like God gets you so close. It's just so close that you're afraid to take that next step because God may say no. I don't know about you, but I've been there. I've been praying about folks. And it just seems like God's going to come through, man. Oh, he's, you know what I'm talking about? Just ready. Oh, come on, God. Burn him! Or you've been in that situation where you're in that tunnel, and all of a sudden there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You start running for it, and there's a train. Bam! And you want to turn around and go, what's up, God? He goes, I'm not ready yet. That's his answer. I'm not ready yet. You know why I'm not ready yet, Hutch? Why? Because you're not ready yet. It's going to take a year. It's going to take you throwing 2-3 times. It's going to take you getting 2 and then missing out. And then 1 and then 1 and then 1 and then 1. And you know what's so amazing to me though, folks? He never quit throwing. He wants to get this boy. He is out to get Mordecai and the Jews. And he never gave up. How many of us give up? He is more stuck on unrighteousness than you and I are stuck on righteousness. I've been doing this for 3 months, Lord. I've been praying for this. You ever got ugly in the face with God? Yeah, that's when you see her, when you get ugly in the face with God. And that's what God does. He cracks up. Look at that. Little temper tantrum. Bring some lightning. You know, he could do that. What does he do? Puts up with our little temper tantrums. 5 months. 6 months. 7. What are you thinking after about the 7 month of praying and throwing every day those lies? 8 months. 9 months. 10 months. Oh, by that time, you think that you have paid your dues. You have gone to Gehenna. Talk to me, church. He never gave up to kill Mordecai and the Jews for a year. Say, I guess there's something to say about consistency. Through from Nisan all the way to Adar. And hey, you can impress your friends when you get go out. So let me read a verse to you. He went from Nisan to Adar. That was from March until February. Impressed? Man, we've only done one verse so far. Wow. Did you know all that was in that one verse? It's a lot more, but we just, you guys don't want me to spend time on it, so we got to move. Verse 8. And Haman said unto King Xerxes. What does verse 8, what's the first sentence in verse 8 tell us? What was it? Haman did what? Not Haman has favor with Xerxes. No, no, that's true. But what does it tell us? What kind of favor does he have with Xerxes? Come on, speak up. He has the purr. He finally got 3 in a row. Isn't that something? God gave him 3 in a row. So the minute he gets the 3 in a row, because Xerxes trusts those he's put in control. Have you noticed that? All the guys that he's ever put in control, if they come to Xerxes with a suggestion, he believes it and he follows it. He gives them permission to do it. Isn't that amazing? In other words, he trusts the people he put in control. That's why you never see your pastor being a micromanager. Thank you. In any ministry in this church, if I trust you to take it over, I'm going to trust you to run it. You got to prove you can't be trusted. I'm not going to be running around trying to micromanage you. I don't micromanage the pastors and not going to do it. I don't care what you think or what you think I should do. It ain't going to happen, because if I don't trust them, they shouldn't be here. Can I get an amen on that? And if you don't trust me, I shouldn't be your pastor. You shouldn't be here. You're a hypocrite. Amazing what we do in the name of trust and revenge. That man wants to kill somebody. And I wish we had some Christians that wanted to serve somebody in the same way. You wouldn't try one or two days and give up. You wouldn't try one or two months and say, I tried. You do it day after day after day after day. Can I get an amen from somebody in this place? Oh, that really was enthusiastic. I'm praying for you, honey. Let's pray for him, babe, all the way home. He's got the purr. He's got the 3. He goes to Xerxes and says, hey, this is what it says. There are some people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of your kingdom. And their laws are different from all the people. And you know what, kingy baby? They don't even keep your laws. No. How many of you have ever wanted to get someone so you kind of add what you need to add to make it sound good? Am I the only one? Have you ever added a little bit more to make it sound righteous when you know ain't a righteous thing about it? You just want to get them. Lord, I'm just praying about whether I should work with this people. But you know, Lord, they like to gamble. Well, if you know that, confront them. Don't make an excuse not to serve with them. They're just gossipers. Huh? Some of the greatest gossip in church is sharing prayer requests. Talk to the pastor. Oh, I have such a concern about Loretta. You know she's living with this guy. Ooh. Maybe I shouldn't have shared that. But since I did, can we pray about it? It's Haman. No different than Haman. Do you agree with Haman, what Haman's doing? You think it's okay what Haman's doing? Don't you think that what you're doing could be a little suspect? Because it just boils down to, I'm going to get you, sucker. Some of the people understood that one. Look at this. They don't even want to live. You know, therefore, it is not for the king's prophet to tolerate them. Oh, I'm so happy that Haman thinks that it's the king that is the issue. You shouldn't tolerate them, king. And I'm only concerned about you not having to tolerate them. Oh, my land, king, you gave me. Can I help you out with this bad problem? I'm sorry, I shouldn't enjoy that, should I? This should be a sad thing that we're dealing with here. But since I'm here when I'm not supposed to be, I'm going to enjoy preaching. I get whipped up on after the service. If it please the king, let it be written. Oh, here we go. The name may be destroyed. You know, Xerxes, then he asked, well, we're going to destroy a whole ethnic group. Like Rwanda. Can I have an amen? Like Uganda. If someone who has the power to give that order, evidently there's a lot of trust in the one who's asking him to do it. You know what's so amazing to me? Xerxes has more trust in Haman and what he's saying than most of us have trust in God and what he's saying. We'll question God's scriptures. Because we think we have thrown to purr day after day after day after month. After month, after month, after year, after year, after year. But you got to remember, God's not in a rush. You're not ready yet. It isn't God that's holding up because it's about God. Don't think God's waiting because he ain't ready. God was born ready because he wasn't born. Can I get an amen? I'm just going to see if y'all was listening. Check this out. They need to be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those who have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. Anybody understand what this man just said? I put my money where my revenge is. You don't have to worry about it, King. I take money from my treasury and put it in your treasury. And I can't wait till next week to tell you what that really means. When we walk through the next several verses, it's going to blow your ever-loving mind. 10,000 talents of silver. I want to ask you guys a question. Does Haman have some bank? My boy got some bank. Mr. Fawcett, you know what that means? Long money. His wallet is so long, he got signals on it. talents of silver. You want the pastor to break that down for you a little bit? In modern day terms. Which means, can you imagine what it meant back in that day? But modern day, today. Because you used to be able to buy a loaf of bread for 15 cents. Most of y'all are too young to remember those days. But you used to buy a loaf of bread and an RC Cola and a moon pie for 25 cents. Can I get an amen? I wish I still drank sodas because I'd knock me one down today. That's 10 talents of silver equals 333 tons of silver. Whoa! Now, in today's prices, silver is hovering around $22 an ounce. Anybody? About $22 an ounce. So that is over $23 million worth of silver today. He says, I will pay for my vengeance. It's worth it. $23 million to totally eliminate an ethnic group. You know what's so sad? This man, in all of his evil, will pay $23 million to kill somebody, and we can't get the most of you to give me 23 minutes to serve.